Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
You are now tuned in to the Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. Wow, we're available on iTunes, iHeart, Spotify, TuneIn, and anywhere mobile device is available. So I welcome each and every one of you to our show, The Millionaire Mentorship Show. I'm Dr. Herbert Harris, author of The 12 Universal Laws of Success, a transformational speaker and trainer, and well, I have written, I guess, 8 books. But my whole goal is to speak and train people to see a bigger vision of themselves, to do great things, and to live incredible lives. I love to start our program always with a quote. And today we have a very, very special guest. And I think this quote really appeals to him. The quote is this: "Vision is the art of seeing what is invisible to others." And I'm going to back that up with a second quote: "Make your vision so clear that your fears become irrelevant." And then let's sink it in deep with a third quote: "Vision without action is merely a dream. Action without vision just passes time. But vision with action can change the world." And that's a nice quote from Joel A. Baker. Today, when we talk about vision, I wanted to pull something up here. We talk about, there's a great quote that says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But where there is a vision, the people prosper." And when we start talking about vision, there's another spiritual principle that really ties that vision concept in. And it says, write the vision, make it plain. So if you have a vision and it's not written, it's just a pipe dream. Not only must you write it, but you must write it in such great detail with a sensory fashion. In other words, you want to write that dream and you want a person to be able to feel it. You want to be able to smell it, to taste it, to know how it moves, to know how it sounds. So that dream is so embedded into your feeling that it's going to manifest. One of my great teachers, Reverend Ike, had a beautiful saying, and he says, "What you recognize," in other words, what you see in your mind's eye, you energize in your feelings. And what you energize in your feelings, you realize in your life experience. And so today, because we have such a special guest, I wanted to lead in with that, because this is a gentleman who has truly lived his dreams and who has made such an impact on the world that when we finish today, you're going to say, I need to meet him. I need to go out. I need to get his books. Because this gentleman is a transformational person. Today, we're going to have my friend and my mentor, Dr. George C. Frazier. Dr. Frazier is a Cleveland-based author, entrepreneur, and speaker who focuses on improving network skills, building wealth, and improving diversity and inclusion. Now, that's a powerful concept right now. George is right on time. And I'll call him George because we go back to the old days, okay? In 2011, Dr. Frazier was inducted into the Minority Business Hall of Fame and Museum, and he has received over 350 awards and citations from around the world, including 3 honorary degrees, a chaplaincy, and an ambassadorship. He has put on, and I think this is, we're going to talk about this, he has put on these power networking conferences for over 15 years. And according to Forbes magazine, this is one of the top 5 conferences that you need to be at. You need to attend. And so without further ado, let me introduce my friend, Dr. George Frazier.
Dr. Herb Harris, it is so good to be with you, man. As I said earlier, before we went on the air, man, I love you because not only of who you are and to thy own self be true, but for your commitment and the body of work that you have performed for our people. That's what I'm talking about. Not only have you written a classic book that I've had in my library for over a decade, the 12 Universal Laws of Success. This is a classic, and everybody watching should have this book in their library. If you haven't read it, you should read it. And you've been talking like this and about this and for us and about us for as long as I've been knowing you, which is a generation, at least a generation, at least 20 years. And you have grown, in spite of the fact you were always very smart, but you were always open to everything, attached to nothing, the best ideas win. And then you had the discipline to put your teaching, to put your experience in writing, on paper, and to share those experiences with other people around the world, especially our brothers and sisters. So your legacy is already established. You really have. And I love you for that. Thank you for having me on. It's an honor.
Well, let me tell you, you were the first person I thought of. When we were talking and preparing to do this, I said, I got to get my friend George Frazier. And, you know, George, we go back. I think back the first time that I really became aware of you was back in the 80s. I was working for Reverend Ike. And you published a book that caught his attention. You published The Success Guide. And for our listeners, you have to imagine, Reverend Ike said that George's book was the Rolls Royce of business directories. Now, that's a quote.
Really? Right. And I love Reverend Ike. By the way, I went on a two-week cruise to Europe with Reverend Ike. There was a whole bunch of us, but he was in the mix, and it was like nothing you've ever experienced. Imagine two intense, up-close, and personal weeks with Reverend Ike. What an incredible human being. We miss him.
Amazing. Amazing. Okay. Beautiful. Well, you know, one of the things he was saying was that you had put, and we'll call it Black business on the map, that success guide was so, I mean, it was so first rate. It was so high class, glossy printing, glossy pages. And I always wanted to ask and say, well, George, you know, what made you do that? What was the reason you put that success guide together and to do it on such a professional level?
Yeah, that's a great question, Doc. Prior to producing Success Guide, I was always bothered by and disturbed by the images of our people and how we were portrayed in the media. And all you would read about would be the negative stuff about us. And shortly after that, reading about, this is now in the mid-70s, late-70s, the Black Pages came out,
yes.
Right? Remember the Black Pages, right? Which, yes, is sort of the Yellow Pages version of Black businesses. And they were interdispersed all around the country. And while it was a great tool to start this notion of aggregating and publishing information about local businesses, it still, to me, did not do much to improve the image of our people and the image of our businesses, because we know that pictures are worth a thousand words.
Yes.
So I decided, I said, I'm going to do an upscale version of the Yellow Pages, and I'm going to do them in each community, and I'm going to get the best photographers, I'm going to get the best design covers, I'm going to use the best paper and the best printing, and it'll be something that will be coffee table quality that Black people will want to put on their coffee table to showcase the excellence and the beauty of Black people, but not only from an image standpoint, but there were little stories that talked about their commitment to the community, their consciousness, their African-centered, you know, kind of philosophy, the whole recycling of Black dollars, and the whole notion of excellence. And that was the editorial design. And we went about doing that. We began in Cleveland, and we went out into the marketplace, and we went to our corporate advertisers and says, here's what we're trying to do for Black images. Here's what we're trying to do for the diversity and inclusion, to really upgrade and upscale the image of our people in our community. And we would like for you to support that with advertising. Man, we made a fortune. I mean, Black corporations said, that's a good idea. We want to associate with that kind of imagery. We want to associate with that kind of excellence. And we put out the first success guide in Cleveland, Ohio in 1985, 86. And then we went on to 7 other markets, and we did about 40 of them over the course of about 15 years. But it was a huge hit. It was probably my biggest product at the moment, and it really sort of put me on the map for a brother who is not only about networking, but about improving the image of our people all across this country.
Wow. Well, yeah, thank you so much, Judd. I think that was very enlightening, and I think that those who have never seen it, you need to track one down, because that's something new. But, you know, when you come on the world stage like that, I mean, that's like you stepped out and like, boom, I'm here. And I always wondered, you know, like, what did you do before that? You know, like, what got you into personal development? What type of career did you have before the success guide?
Yeah, I spent I grew up, I was born in 1945. I'm 73 years old, right? So I grew up, you know, when my father came to this country in the early 1900s from Guyana, married a fair-skinned sister, Ida Mae Baldwin, from Lumpkin, Georgia. They moved to Bed-Stuy in Brooklyn, New York, had 11 children. Dad couldn't get a good education and get a good job in the early 1900s, coming as an immigrant fundamentally. So he was relegated to driving a New York City cab. My mom became mentally ill when I was 3 years old. She was institutionalized for the rest of her life. And at 3 years old, we were put into orphanages because my father had to work 12 to 14 hours a day. And he couldn't take care of 11 children. There were 8 boys and 3 girls. So at 3, I was in an orphanage. And then I stayed there from 3 to 5. And then at 5 years old, because nobody would take 11 children, we were broken up into 3s and then put into foster care. And I aged out of foster care growing up on the main streets in Brooklyn, New York at 18 years old, all right? But I grew up in that generation, Doc, where our parents, whether they were foster parents or biological parents, our parents were telling us, get a good education and get a good job. That's what they wanted for their children, because as Black people in the early 1900s, they couldn't get a good education and get a good job. So that's what they wanted for us, right? So that was the right thinking at that time. So that's what I grew up. That was what was in my mind. So that's what I did. I got a good education and then spent 20 years in the public and private sector learning my craft. 13 years in brand management with Procter & Gamble, 3 years as vice president of United Way, and then 2 years as an executive with Ford, and then at 42. Business. But most importantly, I had the proper education and I had the proper training, right? Mm. So this is what I recommend to young people today. There's nothing wrong, obviously, with getting a good education, but we need to also consider getting a good vocation as well, because less than Gates didn't have a college degree. So college degrees are wonderful, but it is not necessarily the answer in and to itself. I say get an education and get a skill. But what I'm teaching my sons, my 2 sons, is to get a good education and to create a job. create a job for yourself, create a job for your children, and if God gives you the power and the glory, to create working jobs for our people. So there's a new mindset, a new mind shift, and we see this in the business development among Black folk in America. On a per capita basis, it is the highest number of business startups of any cultural group in America, right?
Wow.
There's some other issues with it, but most importantly, we are moving, we are getting this message, whether you are employed or whether you are already down the entrepreneurial path, that you know, in this world, two things are going on 24/7, Herb. Mm-hmm. Somebody's buying or somebody's selling, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. We need to stop doing damn buying. Right? Whether you bake cookies, put them in a box and put your name on it and sell it to somebody. If you live on a farm, take the manure, put it in a bag, put your name on it and sell it to somebody. You can make a entree manure. Stop doing all the damn buying and do some selling. So there's nothing wrong with getting your skills together, learning at the feet of masters. I learned at the feet of the masters of branding and marketing with Procter & Gamble. I learned at the feet of masters in the nonprofit world with United Way. I learned at the feet of masters with the Ford Motor Company. And then I applied those skills. So yes, when you get out of college, get a job, get your foot in the door where you can learn some skills, but understand that at some point in time, you're going to pivot out of that and apply those skills to your own business and make you wealthy as opposed to someone else.
Wow. Joyce, you got my skin just trembling, man. I mean, so many kids are in the foster care system now, you know, when we hear that. And there must have been something special, something that made you different, that made you go your path. You know, is there anything, any one thing? It may not be one, but, you know, the kids in foster care right now to say, hey, man, I can pivot. I like that term. I can pivot and I can go for it. I can go for my dreams. Was there any one thing when you were a child?
Yeah, that's a deep question. Yes, there were several things. First of all, being a foster child and your little colleagues and friends knowing that, you feel less than. Mm. You feel less than. You're not connected to your biological parents, so you don't feel as wholesome and as whole. You don't have as much esteem as a young child growing up with their mom and dad. And in some ways, you're made fun of. You're sort of looked at as a bastard child. Now, that served me very well because I did have a low self-esteem. I did feel less than. And so that planted seeds in my mind, Herb, to say, well, I'm going to prove to you that I'm as good as you, that I can do what you do. So that really tended to motivate me, right? Now, of course, there are people that have things happen to them that demotivate them, but that motivated me and planted the seeds that I live by. I said, well, George, if you're as good as the other kids, and if you want to be seen as an equal, right, whatever it is that you do in life. Now, I didn't say it exactly like then in life, but this is how I processed it as I went through life. I said to myself, chase excellence, never chase money. Chase excellence, never chase money, right?
Beautiful.
So whatever little job that you're going to have, whether you're stacking cans in a grocery store, whether you're mopping floors on the midnight shift at LaGuardia Airport, these are all jobs I had, whether you're working in the basement of a grocery store, separating bottles, because back in the day we used to get, you know, pennies for different bottles, and that was a job in the grocery store. Do it with excellence. Don't worry about the money. Money has a strange way of finding excellence. In fact, what I discovered with that little simple philosophy is that if I was excellent, I would never have to worry about a job.
Wow.
I would never have to worry about getting in anybody's line. The people got in line for me. That's what I, you know. And then I also discovered later on that if I was excellent, that I wouldn't have to worry about competition. Because what I also discovered is that most
of America is about average to mediocre. So if I was average to mediocre, I would be competing with most of America. But if I was excellent, I would rise above the masses and people would pick me out of the crowd, right? Wow. And that happened every time. So in my entire life, Doc, I never ever, and I'm 73, I have never ever had to apply for a job or look for a job or ask for a job. Jobs always found me.
Wow.
Because it was that simple philosophy, chase excellence, never chase money. Right?
That's beautiful, man. I tell you, man, you're giving me chills. That was so powerful. And we got to take a little break here because I think that's got to sink in. So let's take a brief break. You're now tuned in to the Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Bashani Radio, coming to you, always talking about everything from New York City. We are available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn, and anywhere a mobile device is available. As we pick back up, George, I tell you, you have shared so much today. I had some questions, some things I wanted to ask you, but I tell you, you have taken us to such a level of consciousness that yes. I think that, you know, it's clear now. I was going to ask you your mission, but I tell you, you have really told your mission. You know, when you started helping Black businesses, that mission. You know, maybe you share a little about that because that mission came through loud and clear.
No question. So let me give everybody listening.
So I'm going to correct what most people think is the success formula.
But I'm going to show them in a split second the error of their ways.
So most people think the formula or the sequence is make money, be successful, help people. That's what most people think. That's totally wrong. It is help people, be successful, make money. It's completely the reverse, right? Wow. Because life is about loving, giving, serving, and adding the highest value every minute of every day, right? That yes. is really the purpose of life, right? That purpose of life. So the real formula, the most successful formula is find a way to serve. In fact, if you're not giving, you're not getting. If you have nothing in life, it's because you've given nothing in life, right? That's really the purpose of life. So as you give, you receive. That's biblical. You never give to receive. But understand biblically that it is impossible to give and not receive. That is how God has designed the system. So once you fully understand that, serve or help people, you will then become successful and you will make money, right? So let me say that another way. The size of your money will be directly related to the size of the problems you solve.
Woo!
Woo! Right?
You're yes.
solving little tiny problems, you're making little tiny money. Now, the reason you're solving little tiny problems is because you don't have the skills to solve the bigger problems. So here's a simple little formula. If you want to earn more, learn more. Right? You can solve bigger problems, and that will increase the size of your money. So in my earlier years, when I was a young person, I was solving little problems because I had little skills and I was making little money, but I was fulfilled because I was solving problems. Even mopping floors on the midnight shift at LaGuardia Airport for 3 years, right? I was the best floor mopper they ever had. You can go to LaGuardia Airport right now, Herb, right now, go in the maintenance department. There's a plaque on the wall with me on it, right? I was the number one floor mopper at LaGuardia Airport, all right? I was so proud of that, right? But that was an attitude, right?
Yes.
That was an attitude. I took ownership and responsibility for those floors, right? Yes. And I knew that if I had clean floors, pristine floors, that people would feel better about coming to the airport. They would feel better about LaGuardia Airport. They wouldn't have to walk on gum and walk in dirt. And so I felt that I was really helping people to feel better about themselves, right?
Wow.
Because I felt better about myself with clean floors, right?
Yes, so, yes.
That is really the formula. Help people, you will be successful, and then you will make money.
Wow. George, well, you know, now you have really taken that whole concept up to a whole nother level with the power networking. That, you know, now one, that's a program that happens every year. You've done, I know, over 15 years. But when you started that, what was the vision that you saw? What problem were you attempting to solve when you started that power networking conference?
Right, to lead a global networking movement to increase opportunities and resources and economic development for people of African descent. It was no more complicated than that. And I knew that at some juncture, I was going to have to move from a local star to a national star. In other words, I was going to have to take more risk, make a bigger investment of time, talent, and treasure, and aggregate the brothers and sisters who shared a common vision, who wanted to network, but really didn't understand the strategies and tactics and the collaborative powers of networking. So I took on that responsibility of teaching them. I clearly understood them. I had demonstrated products and services like the Success Guide and says, you want to see a high quality directory of a powerful network of Black people all over America, beautiful Black people who are succeeding. And what I said to them is, listen, I don't care what it is that you want to do in life. Right? I don't care what it is you want to do. I can introduce you to a brother and sister who is already doing it with excellence. You just don't know them. But here they are. They're in these publications. Right. So that was really the essence of the whole idea around the Power Networking Conference. To bring together Black folk of like mind who wanted to learn how to collaborate, who understood that you could make a sale and make a commission, or you could make a friend and make a fortune. Okay.
Now you need to say that again, George. Woo! I got that one. Yeah.
I wanted to teach everybody the difference between making a sale and making a commission and making a friend and making a fortune. So over the last 16 years, Herb, at the Power Networking Conference, with 1,500 Black folks who think like you and I, Herb, come together, and the most common question at the Power Networking Conference is, how can I help you? How can I serve you? What do I have that you can use? What do you have that I can use? And as a result of that, and this is no exaggeration, we have aggregated and we have increased the business among our network in 16 years by $750 million. We have recycled just among our network. We're talking about 1,500 people, $750 million of new business has come to the people that have come to this conference using our simple philosophy of excellence, chasing excellence and not chasing money. And so when you're good at what you do, man, when you are excellent at what you do, like when you wrote an excellent book, it's still alive. It's still around, right?
Yes.
People are still it out. You can still buy this book some 15 years ago on Amazon, just like you can still buy Success Runs in Our Race, which I wrote 25 years ago. You can still buy it on Amazon, right? Yes. Because it was truth to power. It was written with excellence, right? And that lasts a lifetime.
Right? Wow. Wow. Well, you know, George, when you start thinking about that, I saw that you'd written a book with Les Brown. And was that Mission Impossible? Now, that was interesting.
Mission Unstoppable. Extraordinary story. Right. Extraordinary stories of failure's blessings.
Oh.
Mission Unstoppable, Extraordinary Stories of Failure's Blessings. And we used unstoppable because, you know, that's Les Brown, one of his favorite words, is yes. Be unstoppable, right? Herb Harris is unstoppable. Michael Moose is unstoppable. George Frazier is unstoppable. I don't care what obstacle you put in our way, we are going to find a way around that obstacle. That brings me to my favorite quote from Marcus Aurelius. Marcus Aurelius said, "The impediment to action advances action. What stands in the way becomes the way." So another way to say that is the obstacle is the way. So when God, when you're born and God assigns you your purpose,
yes,
the next thing that God does, Herb, is put an obstacle in your way. Your job is to find a way over, around, through, under that obstacle. And when you do that, God checks off a box. And then he gives you your next assignment. It's at a little higher level. And then the next thing he does after your next assignment, Herb, you know this, he puts another obstacle in your way. And as you overcome and find ways through these obstacles, you advance in life. If you cannot find a way around foster care, you grew up with only your mama, you grew up with only your dad, whatever the obstacle is, whatever hand that God has dealt you, if you have not found a way to play those cards, you get stuck right there.
Woo! Goodness
you
gracious.
Get stuck right there until you find over and around that obstacle, right? So we know that the obstacle is the way.
Is the way. So well, I
don't
tell you,
fear over obstacles.
That's it.
Rejoice in obstacles because that's the path.
That's the path.
If it was easy, why would God need you?
You. Now, that's a great place, George. That's a good point now to let people know about the upcoming conferences, their website, that they can get more information.
Oh, absolutely. We got a special sale going on right now. So everybody, listen up. We have our website is powernetworkingconference.com. Powernetworkingconference.com. That is the website, powernetworkingconference.com. Our conference is $995. Now, people say, $995? Yeah, if you met one person that could change the trajectory of your life, that could bring you an extra $200,000 or $300,000 to your business at that conference, would that be worth $995? You're damn right. Of course it would, right?
Yes.
So we have a special offer right now because we want to get more people to the conference. We want to sell it out as we do every year. So it's now we've reduced it from $995 to $399. You can go right on powernetworkingconference.com. It's in Washington, D.C., July 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th. July 4th is our bonus day. Call that Financial Interdependence Day. We've renamed that Financial Interdependence Day. Not independence, Interdependence Day.
Wow.
So 4 days, $399, the baddest and most awesome speakers and subject matter experts. And we only talk about two things, business and money.
Beautiful.
Business and money.
And money.
That's all we talk about for 96 hours, from 7 in the morning to 12 midnight. Business and money.
And money. But George, I tell you, we're kind of at the end of our time, and I was going to ask you what was that nugget, but I tell you, I feel like, you know, can you imagine Moses asked God, "Can you give me a couple of thoughts about how people should live, two or three?" And God says, "Hey, here's 10 commandments." And so when I ask you, so if I ask you for a nugget, man, I think if we haven't gotten the nugget for what you're saying now, your wood is wet. You know, if a person hasn't gotten it.
I want to give you one killer nugget to leave.
Go ahead.
This is a special especially to my sister friend. This is especially to us, right? So I'm not going to expand on it. Don't hate me for saying it. I want to say this and still be loved, okay? If you can't build with them, don't chill with them.
Ooh, if you can't build with them, don't chill with them. Thank you so much. Wow. Folks, we have had, you know, we have been like in the promised land. We've just spent some time with Dr. George Fraser. He shared some wisdom with us that I didn't even know. And I've known George for over 30 years, but you shared some stuff with us, George. The one thing I know is we got to do another interview and another interview because you have pearls that people need to know about. And so I just want to thank you for sharing today. Your Power Networking Conference is going to be awesome. That the things that you're doing have changed the face of business in America, not just in the black businesses, but you know, there's an interface. They have changed the business in America. And so I want to close now because you've done so much for me. I want to get off this thing and go shout.
God bless you, man.
Thank Love you. Man. Thank you. So to close out, folks, we've just heard from an awesome person, Dr. George Fraser. And as we listened to him, I thought about it, and I was saying that I love to close with an affirmation and a call to action. And so our affirmation is, I have a vision for my success. I see it clearly in my mind. I'll say it again. The affirmation for this week, I have a vision for my success. I see it clearly in my mind. And our call to action, when we listen to our program, this is the Millionaire Mentorship Show. When you listen to this show, we don't want you to just say, oh, it was a great show, but I'm going to give you an assignment. And your assignment for this week, your call to action, is to write your life vision of what you want to be, do, and have. And let's put it on a time schedule right where you would like to be 5 years from today. Well, this is Dr. Herbert Harris, and you're tuned in to the Millionaire Mentorship Show on Bassani Radio, coming from New York City, talking, always talking about everything from New York City. We're available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn, and just about anywhere that a mobile device is available. So thank you so much. Look forward to you joining us next time, next week, for another awesome experience. Dr. Herbert Harris saying, remember, the best is yet to come.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.